thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We're looking at the last handful of verses in Luke chapter 1 as part of our year-long study through the longest of all the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke starts with the events preceding and the event of the birth of Jesus Christ. And so we remember a time or two ago, we looked at Zechariah and his encounter with Gabriel, and Gabriel told him that even though he and his wife were advanced in age, that they would have a son and he would be called John, and he would have a very special mission unlike anyone else's in history, to be the forerunner of the one, the Christ. And we saw how Zechariah responded, and then we saw how Mary responded to Gabriel, very different. And now we revisit Zechariah. We hear the rest of the story. And it might seem like a lot of verses. It's verses 57 through 80. It really isn't. And what I want to do is just read a portion of the song of Zechariah. It's verses 76 through 79 to get us started. So this is the Word of God. Chapter 1, verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And all of God's people said, amen. Last service, you know, it depends on where you are on a Sunday morning. If it's a sunny Sunday morning, then some of you will be experiencing God's direct shaft of light as it comes from heaven. And there's an opportunity over, you can see some of the chairs that are lit up, you know, and so it was kind of funny because this whole section right here was lit up and they're like, yes, the sunrise is visiting us. And that's what we want. That's what we yearn for. Whether we know it or not, whether we admit it or not, we want what Zechariah is talking about here. Pray with me if you would. Lord, help us now as we hear the rest of the story of Zechariah and enjoy what you do in the life of a man who you've chosen, who you've picked, who you've selected, you've spoken to. Not based on any merit or good works on his part, but all grace and mercy on your part. Lord, shower down your grace and mercy on us now in our seeking to understand, seeking to comprehend what you have for us in your word. Lord, be glorified by what you do in our lives as we read about what you did in Zechariah's life. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. So it's nearly Christmas, of course, just a few days away, and maybe in your family, you are the one assigned to assemble the Christmas gifts that require assembly. Some of those Christmas gifts that require assembly come with many pieces and parts, and usually a written set of instructions. I want to talk to you about that written set of instructions. Here's what you need to know. Assembly instructions are not what they used to be. Some of them don't even have words, right? You've seen those? Just pictures. And you've got to figure out what part goes with what other part with the picture. And you might think those are the worst instructions. No, they're not. The worst instructions are the ones that use English. And yet, it's not an English you recognize or can comprehend. That's what I had. I had a little project, a little assembly project, and there were the written instructions. And this was supposed to be English. I didn't follow it. And Then when I could follow it, the instructions were wrong. They were wrong. They were erroneous, heretical, wrong. I was stuck, lost, confused, stuck. But God made a way where there was no way. And I learned that, like many things, the internet can be used for good as well as evil. And there on the internet are these YouTube videos supplied to us by skillful and compassionate gentlemen, usually. They are showing us the way, showing us, demonstrating for us. It's viewable. You can watch it. You can pause it, watch it again. And I found a set of instructions per video on YouTube, and it affirmed me, because the first thing that this skillful tradesman of gift assembly assured me of was that the written instructions that came with the big pile of pieces were garbage. Amen. I knew they were. And then he proceeds to show me how to put the thing together, and I put the thing together, and I was successful. I once was stuck, but now unstuck. Yes. Yes, that's what I felt. That I felt that, even though I didn't hear it, now I'm hearing it now, but I felt that, and it was a good thing. And I was thinking, you know, this reminds me of the angels and the work of angels with us. The YouTube videos supplied by these compassionate people remind me of the work of angels with us. And I know the scale is so different, the importance is so different, but the functionality is the same. They are there to help. They want to help. And that's what the angels do. That's what Gabriel was doing. I come, I'm bringing a message from God and some instructions from God. And Zechariah received this, but he received it poorly. As we know, he overthought it, and that led to doubt. And here he is, doubting and then being disciplined by the angel for his doubt. Now he cannot speak. And that's where we pick up the story, right here. It's a story of a second chance. Our God, who created the heavens and the earth, he created an overwhelming multitude of second chances for you and for me and for everyone that we read about in the Bible. If we read enough about them in the Bible, we'll read how God supplied them with a second chance, because our God is the God of second chances. Amen? He is. And so we saw Zechariah. He overthought it. He doubted it. He got stuck. And now we're going to read about him getting unstuck. And what makes the difference? What made the difference? Listening to God's instructions. In this case, brought by an angel. And the angel was right. Verse 57, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her." Well, how exciting is this? The birth of John the Baptist, the removal of the reproach that Elizabeth felt, this burden that she was carrying around because she and Zechariah were infertile. Now that reproach has been removed. And you know, when God works like this, we've got to use a word like mercy, but sometimes the word mercy is not enough. And so we've got to up it a little bit. No, not just mercy, great mercy, great mercy. And that's the joy of the moment. It's a moment of joy, a moment of assurance that God, his message, what his angels say, it's right. You can trust what God says. The story continues. "And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, well, none of your relatives is called by this name. So John, that's the name that the angel told them to give to their son. Now Elizabeth, she had honored all the words of the angel. She didn't doubt. And now she's holding in her arms her newborn son. She's not about to doubt him now. Not about to do something different than what the angel said. But the people don't know. They don't know this. Maybe they're not privy to this information. This is Zechariah Jr. That's what this should be. Mini-me, mini-Z, right? Zechariah 2.0. Let's ask Big Z what he thinks. Let's see what he says. Except he can't say anything because he's mute. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, Zechariah is about to answer that question, what then will this child be? And the form of answer that he gives us, that we experience here, is it's a song, it's a psalm. It's called Benedictus because the first word of the song is blessing. Benedictus is like our word benediction. It means good word. It's a blessing. And this is a song of prophecy and praise, kind of wrapped all up in blessing. And in it, Zechariah is going to declare that the angel Gabriel was right. The instructions he gave were good, and they ought to have been followed. And we're going to see now, as Zechariah expresses his faith and his joy and his gratitude at being given an amazing second chance, we're going to see the attention shift from him and Elizabeth to John, to their newborn son and his purpose, and the focus of his purpose, which is Christ the Lord. So first, we read this, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, and here we go, the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us and the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy, there that word is again, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Take in the meaning of the words, but also take in the meaning of the presence of these words. There he is. He's back. Zechariah is back. He has fully recovered thanks to the special spiritual medical treatment of Dr. the angel Gabriel. Apparently, overthinking is a treatable disease. Amen? It can be cured. And the gospel faith in the God of the Bible, that is the cure. That's the most powerful medicine. And faith has done its work here. The bandage is off. The wound is gone. This man is back. There's the priest. There's the man of God. We couldn't see him because of his doubt. There he is. Just like with us. God does the same thing with us. There he is, the man of the word, the esteemed elder, the student of all things messianic, which he had to be. The father, and now he knows it, the father of John. And who's John? He's the herald for the hero, the crier for the Christ, the proclaimer of God's peace, the representative for the redeemer, the paver of the path, and the signpost for the Savior. And now, hear and experience the pride and the confidence of this new father, speaking of his newborn son, who alone in history has been assigned the noblest of all human missions. These are the words we started with. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy, there that word is again, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. Oh, this man is mute no more. As I've been saying all weekend, he could join our choir. Now he's singing now. Amen. And what a song. If he was stuck before, stuck, victim of his own overthinking, his doubt, now unstuck. That's how God works. That's who he is. Look at this man, his mouth, tongue opened, loosened, speaking forth this great blessing. Imagine the joy of it. Imagine the joy of speaking such words. Think of the contrast. He had been given this great honor. He'd won the lottery. Now he gets to go into the temple and really represent all of faith. Everything written in the Bible up to that moment, he's carrying it. He's holding it. He's representing it. And he's there in the temple, the high point of his life. And he encounters an angel of the Lord and doubts. He doubts the God who speaks to him. He doubts the God he serves. He doubts the God that he's assigned to represent as a priest. And he experiences that discipline from the angel and flees the temple, leaves the temple. He has to make signs with his hands to communicate. He can't speak. How does that work for a priest? That doesn't work for a priest. And what I noticed in reading this over and over again is that there seems to be a compassion amongst the people. He didn't lose his place somehow with the people. He was still honored and referred to. Let's talk to Zechariah. What shall we name his son? And I like that. Some of us are in the middle of receiving our second chance. We're in the middle of acknowledging our need for a second chance, and we're not there yet. But we have people around us that love us and support us, and you need that. And that's part of the untold story here. Has to be, because here he is. Here he is. He speaks these words, beautiful, perfect, cherished, needed, adored words, words that we need. They're thousands of years old, spoken for the first time on the other side of the world, and yet we need them now more than we need anything else. These things that he's speaking about, that Zechariah is speaking about, we need them. The last verse. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Amen. And so this is John the Baptist, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. A few years later, really. What's a couple decades? A few years. He appears as the forerunner of our one and only Lord and Redeemer, who as Savior fulfills the words that Zechariah speaks here, the words of this Benedictus, this benediction, this blessing. And how does he do that? The only way it can be done, through his death, through being a sacrifice for our sins, through making a way where there was no way, through his death on the cross at Calvary. That's why we take of communion during Advent, to remember. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering why he came. We're remembering why. We're remembering who he is, who he was, who we need him to be. We're remembering the mercy. There's mercy, there's great mercy, there's tender mercy. Do you need a little mercy? If you've come to Jesus, you've come to the right place. Amen? Do you need a second chance? Maybe nobody knows it, but you know it. You need a second chance. Second chance in life, a second chance with God, a second chance with someone in your life. You need that second chance. Well, if you've come to Jesus for your second chance, you've come to the right place. As the men pass the elements of communion, let's make this personal. You'll receive two cups, one on top of the other, if you're not familiar with how it's done here. You'll see the bread in the bottom cup and grape juice in place of wine on top. And just receive that. We'll partake together in unison of each. And that's symbolic of our relationship in Christ. Christ made a way where there was no way between us and the Father. He is that way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But he also makes a way between us and each other. We forgive where we wouldn't have forgiven. We love where we wouldn't have loved. We're patient where we wouldn't be patient. Amen. Amen. You don't have to say amen. I feel your amen. Yeah, there's an amen there. Jesus did all that. And he did it through paying the price. He was born to die that we might live. Because without that, we were only headed to death. Sin leads to death, leads to hell. It's inevitable. It's a direct line. And he interrupts that line for us. That's what grace is, this great interruption. That's what his mercy is. As the men continue to pass the elements out, let me pray. Lord, thank you so much. Oh, there's some of us that really need a second chance. We just need it. And we can't explain the whole thing, and we can't, we can't think it through as much as we'd like to think it through. Maybe some of our thinking is overthinking. Lord, help us to think correctly, to think well, to think in line with your word. Thank you, Lord. We know Zechariah had some time to think in his silence as he was experiencing this incapacity. And some of us are experiencing the same thing now, and you've given us time to think. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word and your spirit, because our thinking was dark. And now you've shown a light into the dark places. We confess to you whatever our sins are. We confess to you our need for you. We confess that you had to do this for us. We don't come to the table with our clean Christian record and saying, we deserve this. We're qualified somehow. No, the only ones you allow to the table are the ones who confess the truth. We're unqualified. We don't deserve this. We didn't earn it. We don't merit it. We have not been good enough. We have not lived well enough. We have not made the right choices. We have fallen into all kinds of holes for all kinds of reasons, and none of them good. Thank you, Lord. You called us to you. You said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so this is what this is. Rest, peace, salvation. That's what you give us. That's what you offer us. And this is what we remember. We remember the means, the cross, your death. Set apart these elements for holy purpose now, that they be to our faith, your body broken, your blood shed, to pay the full price for all our sins and to set us free forever from sin and death and hell. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.